yeah, we've seen so many beautiful stories today that have just made me fall more and more in love with Jesus myself. To touch on what Greg said, yeah, it's actually 3 years tomorrow that I encountered Jesus. I won't go into the full story because it's quite long, but basically I had a drug-induced cardiac arrest on my sofa at home, and in and amongst 10 years of depression and many other awful issues going on. And in a heart attack, I cried out to God and I said, if you are real, will you come and help me, please? And he gave me an opportunity to basically repent. I wanted a quick fix, and he said, no, I'm not going to just fix you, because then you'll just carry on living in the same cycle of destruction that you're living in. But I'll give you an opportunity to accept me into your heart. And if you accept me, I'll give you a new life. And I wrestled with that for a bit, and I was like, nah, I don't want to do that. That means like surrendering my will and, you know, accepting someone else as having control. And I didn't want to do that at all. So I was like, I believe in you. I believe in you. And the devil, God said, belief in me isn't enough. The devil believes in me. You've got to accept me into your heart. So with last breaths, I sort of said, fine, I accept you into my heart as Lord and Savior. Please, will you rescue me? And long story short, I'm now 3 years saved tomorrow. Not touched drink or drugs. No longer had depression. Instantly, overnight, I was completely set free, liberated. It's God. Thank you, Father. And it's literally a case of he who the Son sets free is free indeed. So glory to God for that. And I've just loved hearing all the different stories today. And it got me thinking, we're very privileged, right, to follow Jesus at this time. Because I was thinking what it might be like for the disciples in the time following Jesus. They're watching him do all these amazing things, and he's saying a lot of bold statements that would make people, well, they're making people very angry, but they're following anyway. And then Jesus, in Matthew 16, 21, and again in 17, 22, he basically says, I'm going to get killed, but I'll resurrect. And they're like, imagine that. You've given your life, you've dedicated everything to following a man that then says, by the way, I'm going to get killed, but I'll come back to life. You think, what? Like, it just would seem nonsensical. But we know that he did actually raise from the dead. Hallelujah. And that's why we're here celebrating tonight. We're thanking God for that resurrection, for that proof that everything that had been prophesied for hundreds of years prior came to fulfillment in that one evening, or afternoon, sorry, in that one day. And I'm further encouraged by the passage in John 12, 23 to 33, which I'll read now. If you have Bibles, please get them out and we'll have a quick read. I think it's good to not just look at a screen, but open the Word of God and read it. If you need that verse again, it's John 12, verse 22 to 33. I'll go 23, actually. Right, so Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven and said, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And the crowd that were there heard it and said that it thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. And then Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, shall draw all people to myself. And he said this to show the kind of death that he was going to die. Why does this encourage me? Unlock the phone and I'll tell you. When he's talking about the seed, the seed must die. But in the death of the seed, there's a multiplication that happens. So Jesus was on this earth and he was you know, he was laying hands on people. The sick were getting recovered. The sight was restored. Hearing was restored. Demons were driven out. So, but his death allowed all of us to receive his Holy Spirit so that we could go and do the same thing. We could expand his kingdom. There's multiplication there. As we follow Jesus, it says that we get to, as we die to ourselves, essentially, we get to live on for eternity. We might hate our lives on this earth right now, but we're following Christ. We get to live on for eternity with God, our Savior. That is so encouraging for me. And finally, we see that the prince of this world, who we know to be Satan, the enemy, that the scripture says he will be driven out. So as we pursue Christ, as we do the things that he commands us to do, and he gives us authority, you see at the end of Matthew 28, I believe, yeah. He gives us authority. He says, all authority I have received from on heaven and in earth. And he gives us the authority to lay hands on the sick and fulfill the Great Commission to go and spread the gospel. As we pursue him, as we follow him, we get to drive out the prince of darkness, and we get to see the restoration of God's kingdom here on earth as it was always intended. And we get the eternity with him when our life passes. I think that's just glorious. So on to the hope of Easter. I mean, we've just seen four people turning from their old ways, and I bless you all in Jesus' mighty name. And I say, go and share the gospel with as many as you can, because we all have a sphere of influence around us. And the transformation that you've had in your life, you can share hope yourself. You can share the hope of Christ and witness your circles fall out of darkness, out of Satan's plans. You can restore the goodness, the kindness, the love of Christ. And all of us as believers, we can and should be doing the same. But also from my personal testimony, obviously I said I was in like 10 years worth of depression, and I had to come to death's door to be able to be saved. Literally, my heart stopped before I, in my stubbornness, cried out. But what people don't know is that for 15 years prior to that, my dad had been praying earnestly for me to be saved. And he had to witness my downward spiral, 10 years of depression, cocaine addiction, alcohol addiction, spiraling. And he didn't know what to do. And he's saying to God, where are you? Like, I'm praying, and my son is just reaching closer and closer to death's door. But in God's perfect timing, I got saved, and now I share the gospel all up and down the country. I've gone overseas. Like, I had to have that encounter to be as on fire for the Lord as I am now. So the hope is, don't ever stop praying. If you've got sons, daughters, family members that you're really concerned about that don't yet know Jesus, keep praying. Because in God's perfect timing, just like me, they will have that death-to-life experience. They will experience God for themselves in a way that only God could coordinate. Coordinate, I didn't muffle my words there, but yeah, only God could coordinate. And it will be perfect, it will be glorious. I'm going to leave it there, but look, can I just pray a prayer? Yeah, Father God, we just thank you that you have perfect plans for each and every single person on this earth. You love us all. You know every hair on our head, and you say that your thoughts for us are more than the grains of sand on this earth. You, the creator of the universe, care that much about us as individuals. It's just stunning. I thank you, Father, that no matter how much we might fight you and avoid you, you never give up on us. And the moment that we cry out, you fill us with your Holy Spirit, and you give us the spirit of adoption so that we may cry out, Abba, Father. We cry out to you seeking help, and in exchange, you give us sonship, daughtership. You adopt us and you choose us. You welcome us into your kingdom with open arms. No matter how much sin we've done, no matter how many bad things we've done, I was literally in the middle of my sin when I cried out, and you forgave me anyway and just loved on me. And you do that for any person, no matter what the circumstances, no matter where they're at in their life. So my prayer, Lord, is that you help us. Help us to seek your face daily, to put an end to our sinful ways, and to pursue you, no matter the cost. And as we're pursuing you and reading about you and praying to you, Lord, would you inspire us to share the things that you've done in our lives with those around us, Lord, so that they too may experience the same hope and freedom. We thank you for the cross, Lord. We thank you for how you died for us, for you so loved the world that you gave your only son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish, but have eternal life. And we've seen that today. Whomsoever is not dependent on skin color, is not dependent on age, is not dependent on height, weight, whatever you might be, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So whatever your position, I just pray that you call out to God. And as we draw near to him, he promises to draw near to us. And I pray you all encounter him in new ways from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Amen.